This is Alive with Joseph.
Tonight we're looking at what I titled, Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light. We establish that righteousness is the DNA of God in the life of the believer. Now, righteousness is God's nature taking hold of a believer and making that believer a member of the God class. We establish that righteousness is God's ability on my ability, enabling my ability to do what my ability cannot do without God's ability. We establish that God's righteousness is God's ability that takes hold of an ordinary person, thereby turning that person into an extraordinary person. Righteousness is the catalyst for faith. That is, righteousness sets the foundation for faith. That is, without righteousness, faith cannot be established. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, but faith is established by righteousness. That is, if your righteousness is not revealed to you, your faith cannot be established. Your faith will waver. Your faith will waver. Your faith will waver. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 tells us. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 tells us. Actually, let's begin from 2 Peter chapter 1. I missed a page. Let's go back. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. I read, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and in our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Our call as believer is a call to glory and a call to virtue. So we have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God. You have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God. You are the image of God. You are the offspring of God. And because you are the offspring of God, there is royalty on your inside. And because of the nature of God in you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because of the nature of God in you. And as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, righteousness is your nature. Righteousness is your nature. We said righteousness is the DNA of God in the life of a believer. So righteousness is your nature. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 tells us, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So when the righteousness of God is revealed, the believer goes from faith to faith. Until the righteousness of God is revealed to the believer cannot go from faith to faith. What enables the believer go from one level of faith to another level of faith is the revelation of righteousness. Without the revelation of righteousness, the believer cannot go from faith to faith. And he now concluded that statement by saying, the just shall live by faith. So righteousness is not a subject. Righteousness is a revelation. Righteousness is not a subject we understudy in a theological seminary. Righteousness is a revelation. It has to be revealed. If it is not revealed, it cannot benefit you. The revelation of righteousness is the revelation of your identity. That is to say, if you do not understand your identity, you cannot go from faith to faith. The only thing that enables you to go from one level of faith to another is the revelation of righteousness, which is the revelation of your identity. When your righteousness is revealed, faith flows like a river. When your righteousness is revealed, faith flows like a river. That is to say, you don't have to struggle to release your faith when righteousness is revealed to you. The reason why many believers are struggling to release their faith is because righteousness is not revealed to them. Because righteousness is not revealed, they are struggling to release their faith. When righteousness is revealed to you, you are able to release your faith. You are able to release your faith. Faith is released freely where there is a revelation of righteousness. And friends, when faith is released freely, results are inevitable. When faith is released, results are inevitable. Why? Hebrews 11 verse 2 says, for by it faith the elders obtained a good report. That is to say, the only thing that enables you to obtain what you are looking for is the revelation of righteousness that brings you to the place where you release your faith freely, and when you release your faith, you are able to obtain. I pray for you in this season, may your faith be released in the name of Jesus. I say, may you release your faith in the name of Jesus. And as you release your faith, whatever you are looking for, obtain it in the name of Jesus. I say, obtain it in the name of Jesus. He said, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, this to say, friends, good report is inevitable when righteousness establishes faith. So, without a revelation of righteousness, our faith cannot rise to its peak. Our faith cannot rise to its peak without the revelation of righteousness. Remember, a revelation of righteousness is the revelation of your identity in Christ. Without the revelation of your identity, if light does not shine, you cannot, your faith can never rise to its peak. So our faith cannot rise to its maximum without the revelation of righteousness. Our faith cannot be released to its full potential without the revelation of righteousness. Why? Because without a revelation of righteousness, faith can waver. Faith can waver. Without the revelation of righteousness, your faith can waver. Faith can flicker. Without the revelation of righteousness, without it, your faith can shake. Your faith will have no stability. Your faith will have no stability. When there is no revelation of righteousness, it will be that today you believe God, tomorrow you are not sure. Why? Because you are not established. Your faith has not been established, and the reason it's not established is because there is no revelation of righteousness. So that is why you see some believers, sometimes they believe, the other time they don't believe. Sometimes they know that God will do it, some other times they are doubting if God will ever do it. Why? Because there is no revelation of righteousness. When revelation of righteousness is not established, faith can waver. It can flicker. It can shake. It can, you know, it becomes unstable. There is no stability at all. So when there is no revelation, that is why you will see most times believers don't rise to take what God has promised them. You cannot receive the promise without the establishment of your faith. And what establishes your faith is the revelation of righteousness, which is a revelation of your identity. Give the Lord praise tonight if you believe that. So, you see, when it's not established, you discover that, you know, a believer's faith is wavering. And all of this is because no revelation of righteousness. Quickly, what is righteousness? It is the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or sin consciousness. What is righteousness? It is the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or sin consciousness. It is the ability to come before God boldly without any doubt, without any fear, without any inferiority complex, to confidently and boldly stand before God, knowing that God will not say no to you. So that is to say, you know confidently, you know with everything in you that your heavenly Father will not say no to you. Why? Because you have not come in your name. You have come in the name of the perfect sacrifice, our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, friends, what the devil does is to try to keep us in an environment of unrighteousness. In an environment of unrighteousness, because he knows all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. So the only way he keeps us in an environment of righteousness is to make sure that we get involved with the works of unrighteousness. When we get involved with the works of unrighteousness, we begin to doubt our righteousness, and as a result, we stay in an environment of unrighteousness. Guilt is sin. Condemnation is sin. Inferiority complex is sin. Insecurity is sin. And the devil knows if he can keep you in all of those environments, if he can keep you, if he can get you involved in the works of unrighteousness, so that you can come into condemnation, come into inferiority complex, come into insecurity, he knows that you will not be able to come before God confidently and in faith. So the devil can't stop you from getting born again, but he can stop you from having an active and a robust relationship with God. He may not be able to stop you from getting born again, but he can stop you from having an active and a robust relationship with God. Why? How? How will he do that? By keeping you in condemnation, guilt, doubt, fear, inferiority complex, sin consciousness. When he keeps you in that environment, you will not be able to have an active relationship with God. Your relationship with God will have all kinds of shakings. Why? Because today you believe that God is your father. Tomorrow you are doubting if he's your father. Today you believe that God loves you. Tomorrow you believe that God hates you. Why? Because of sin consciousness. How? He brings you into sin consciousness by making you get involved in the unfruitful works of darkness. Are you following me tonight? Are you following me tonight? Hallelujah. So the devil tries to keep you in a state where you pray, you are not sure if God is answering you. Where you talk to God, you are not sure if God is hearing you. Where, you know, you look at your expectation card, one moment you have faith that God will honor his word over your expectations. Another moment you are afraid. You don't even know if God will really answer this or not. So you're wavering. Why? Because you're not established, no revelation. Where you talk to God, you are not sure if God is hearing, because the doubts in our heart hinders the release of faith. Doubts in our heart hinders the release of faith. Because of fear in your heart, because of insecurity, inferiority complex, sin consciousness, when it surrounds your heart, lack of revelation of your identity in God will make it whereby you doubt your prayers and you doubt the ability of God to honor his word over your life. You doubt your prayers. You doubt the ability of God to honor his word over your life. So you see, believer, praying the same prayer point. Why? Because they are never coming to the knowledge of truth. They are never receiving answer because light has not shined in their heart for them to understand their identity in Jesus Christ. What brings fear? What brings doubt? What is it that brings inferiority complex and sin consciousness? Is the lack of the revelation of righteousness. Why? Because revelation is light. Insecurity is darkness. The devil likes to keep the believer in darkness because in darkness, Satan is master. In the light, God is master. The devil likes to marginalize the believer who is in an environment of darkness. The devil likes to marginalize the believer that is in the dark, that is in the environment or the arena of darkness. Hallelujah. Listen, you are born again. You now see that even though you're born again, you're still in darkness. Why are you in darkness? The Bible tells us that Psalm 82 verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. They are born again, but they know not. They are born again, they don't understand. So what is the resultant effect of their lack of understanding? They walk on in darkness. They walk on in darkness. They walk on in darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 now says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So they started out in darkness. They were called out of darkness into his marvelous light, but ignorance returned them back to darkness. That was why Paul looked at the Galatian church. He said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He wasn't cursing them. He wasn't using a vulgar word on them. He was simply saying, what has happened to you people? If you study further, he actually said, you started off. This was how you started off. But now you have returned back. And that's how believers, most believers are. They start off. God brings them out of darkness, brings them into light. Ignorance returns them back to darkness. They start off with light, but they return back to darkness. Listen, one of the things, one of the dangers of Christianity is this, is that if as a believer, you don't consistently hunt for light, you may get to the place where you get too comfortable, familiar with the things of God, particularly when you learn to speak the Christian languages, you get into trouble. So they started off in light. That is why often, most times, most of the people that you hardly see walking testimonies are old Christians. They've hung around the church for too long. You know, do you know the guys who sell KFC, who cook the KFC, they no longer perceive the aroma you perceive. You know, you are driving through, let's say, for example, Savannah area, and that aroma hits you. Ha! Everything in you tells you, my friend, short left. What you are perceiving, they no longer perceive it. Actually, that is why you see during lunchtime, they go and buy food. They go and buy acha. Because that smell, they've hung around it so much that it actually makes them want to vomit. If you're not careful, most believers get into that level. They've hung around the church for so long. Before you know it, they get familiar with God, familiar with the things of God. Nothing is happening in their lives anymore. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So they came out of darkness, planted in light, but ignorance returned them back to darkness. Why? Because of lack of revelation, they walk on in darkness. Friends, I'm not talking about religion now. We are talking about revelation. Religion is the memorization of scriptures. Revelation is encounter with the spirit of the scripture. So when you encounter the spirit of the scripture, the spirit of the scripture gives life. Memorization of scripture, it's good to memorize scriptures. I'm not saying it's not good. It is good. It's okay to memorize scriptures. But beyond memorization, let the spirit of the scripture give you revelation, because memorization is the letter, and the letter kills. So they know not. So they know not. And because they don't know, they don't understand. They keep on walking in darkness. Because they don't know, they don't know who they are, they walk in darkness. They don't know what God has done for them, they walk in darkness. They don't know what is available, they walk in darkness. And they die ordinarily. They are denied what is rightfully theirs. Listen, friends, you need to know who you are. And you can never know who you are until you know who God is. Because you came from God. You came from God. And you can never know who God is until you know who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the revelation of the Father. And you can never know who Jesus is until you know who the Holy Spirit is. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the interpreter of the truth. He reveals Jesus to us. He is not the truth. The Holy Spirit is not the truth. The Holy Spirit interprets the truth. The truth is Christ. The truth is Jesus. The Holy Spirit interprets the truth. He came to reveal Jesus to us. So you and I must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who reveals to us Jesus, and in turn reveals to us the Father. Jesus said, "He that have seen me have seen the Father." Jesus is the express image of the Father. So for me to know who I am, for you to know who you are, you've got to know who God is. And if you don't know who God is, you don't know who you are. And because you don't know who you are, you don't know where you came from. John chapter 12, verse 20 to 21. Can we read together? John chapter 12, from verse 20 to 21. Let's read. Are you ready? Is it on the screen? Is it on the screen? Okay, let's go. At the count of three. One, two, three, go. And there were certain Greeks. Okay, you ready, everybody? One, two, three, let's go. Among them that came up to worship at the feast, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we will see Jesus." Change translation for me if you can, please. These Greeks wanted to see Jesus. They came to Philip. They knew that Philip was one of the disciples of Christ. When you change the translation for me, give me a thumbs up so that I know. Okay, thank you. It says, so some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, sir, we want to meet Jesus. We want to meet Jesus. We want to know Jesus. We want to meet Jesus. We want to know Jesus. So they came and said, we want to know Jesus. We want to meet Jesus. So these Greeks wanted to meet Jesus or see Jesus. Why did they want to see Jesus? Because you can never know who you are until you know who the Father is. And you can never know who the Father is until you know who Jesus is. The Greeks came to Philip, sir, we would like to see Jesus. That is our desire. And Paul speaking said that I may know him. That I may know him. We want to see Jesus. We want to know Jesus. That should be our heart cry in this season, beyond this season. As a believer, that should be your daily heart cry. I want to see Jesus. I want to know Jesus, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that I may know him. So these Greeks, they came, they knew that Passover celebration is nothing without an encounter with Jesus. Passover celebration will only be a party without an encounter with Jesus. Passover celebration will only be another pilgrimage to Jerusalem without an encounter with Jesus. They said, we are not leaving this place. Can you imagine? Who told them that they needed to meet Jesus? Who told them? This was before Jesus was glorified. This was the Jesus in the flesh. The man Jesus. The man Jesus. They came to Passover celebration and they said to themselves, we cannot come to Passover celebration without meeting the Passover himself, because Jesus is the Passover lamb. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So they say, we cannot leave. We must meet. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. I don't know how they knew, but somehow by revelation, they say we cannot have a physical Passover without meeting the spiritual Passover. We want to see Jesus. And I pray that will be what will happen to us this year. That our desire this year will be to know God and to know more of him. To continue to know. We will never get weary of knowing. In the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? Our greatest desire is to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Then John chapter 14 verse 4 to 7 now says, whither I go, you know. The way you know and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither you are going. We don't know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How can we know? They are looking for physical way. Jesus said, no. I am the way I'm talking about. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him because you have seen me. Jesus was talking about himself. Say, if you have known me, you will have known my Father also. Why? The reason you don't know my Father is because you don't know me. And the reason you don't know yourself is because you don't know my Father. You don't know my Father because you don't know me. You don't know yourself because you don't know my Father. You can never know who you are until you know who the Father is. You can never know who the Father is until you know who Jesus is. Then verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him. Because you have known me, you know my Father. And you have seen him. From today, you have known my Father. You have seen my Father. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, because you have seen me now, you have seen my Father. You have known my Father. You know my Father because you know me. Why? Jesus is the express image of the Father. He is the revelation of God. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Are you following me tonight? Then verse 8, ESV translation. I read another translation, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It is enough for us. Something is wrong here. Because earlier on he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Hearing they hear, but they hear not. Seeing they see, but they see not. He just spoke to them in verse 7 that you have seen me. You've seen the Father. Then Philip, the same, he went back to Jesus. Show us the Father. And there are many Philips in the house of God. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So when you have not caught the revelation of a word, do you know what happens? You will keep dabbling around that word. Jesus just said to them, from now on, you have seen the Father because you have seen me. You have known the Father because you have known me. And he returns back and says to Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus concluded, you have known the Father already. On the premise of knowing me, on the premise of seeing me, you have seen the Father. And yet Philip said, show us the Father. That is to say, what you are saying is not registering Jesus. We want to see the Father. Show us the Father. That is why relationship with the Holy Spirit is necessary. Because if you neglect the Holy Spirit, you cannot know Jesus. He is the interpreter of the truth. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. That is why when a believer is born again, not baptized in the Holy Spirit, their journey with God is limited. It's limited because why? The one who reveals the truth, you're not having koinonia with that person. No fellowship. Are you getting blessed? Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. I want to make sure that you are properly built up. Amen. Go with me to John 14, verse 9 to 12. Quickly. A few more minutes and I'm done. Quickly. John 14, 9 to 12. ESV translation. He said, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me? Philip, whoever have seen me, have seen the Father. He repeated himself. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own truth. I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than this will he do because I am going to the Father. So the revelation of who you are is rooted in the revelation of Jesus. Please repeat after me. Say, I am the image of God. Thunder loud and clear. Everybody online declare as well. Say, I am the image of God. Thunder by righteousness. I am a member of the royal class. Therefore, thunder, therefore, I live in Jesus. Jesus lives in me. God and Jesus lives in me. Thunder again. I live in God and I live in Jesus. What cannot affect God cannot affect me because I and my Father are one. Say amen to that. Give the Lord your praise this evening. So this revelation puts you over. It is what produces victory over the vicissitudes of life. You can never get to the place of rulership without this revelation. It is this revelation that forms the basis for you to be able to rule in the midst of your enemies. For you to be able to receive the promise. For you to be able to reign and dominate here on the planet Earth. This is the foundation for dominion in Christ. You cannot dominate without this revelation. You cannot rule without this revelation. And I pray for you tonight. Whatever was dominating you before now, by the light you have received in this atmosphere, go and dominate that thing in the name of Jesus. I say, go and dominate that thing in the name of Jesus. That thing that have manipulated your finances, manipulated your health, manipulated your children, your family, I command them to lose their power in the name of Jesus. Whatever marginalized you, I cancel their power over you in the name of Jesus. They lose their grip over you in the name of Jesus. Give me two powerful amen. Two. Give the Lord your highest praise tonight. So the Apostle Paul began talking about the mandate given to him concerning the New Testament church. Let's read it quickly. Acts chapter 26 verse 18, he says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. And that's what I'm doing. I'm turning you from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. How do we turn people from darkness to light? By opening their eyes. You don't pray for them to turn from light to from darkness to light. You open their eyes. You sit them down. The way I've sat you down for 21 days, I'm opening your eyes. I'm opening. After a while, you stand next to some other person who have not sat under this unction. They can't be the same with you. Why? Because you sat, your eyes were open. Buy the truth and sell it not. That's what you have been doing. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Celebrate yourself. You that is online as well, celebrate yourself. So you've been buying the truth. He said, the only way I can turn them from darkness to light is by opening their eyes. By opening their eyes. By opening their eyes. By opening their eyes. And that's what I'm doing these 21 days. That's what I'm doing these 21 days. That's what I'm doing these 21 days. That's why these 21 days, I am not giving myself break. I am spending all this time sweating like this. The way I'm sweating. Just to make sure you sweat it into your life. So that by the time you're running in the year, you're running like a locomotive without a brake. Hallelujah. Yeah. To open their eyes. Because a man cannot move from darkness to light if his eyes are not open. A sister cannot go from darkness to light if her eyes is not open. You don't move people from darkness to light by prayer. No. You move them by opening their eyes. When their eyes are open, then they turn from darkness to light. Let's read again that scripture. Acts 26 verse 18. It says, to open their eyes, to turn them. Hey, to turn them. To turn them. To turn them. Today I declare, by the light in this atmosphere, you are turned in the name of Jesus. Eyes are open. Once a brother's eyes are open, a sister's eyes are open, they move from darkness to light. And when he moved from darkness to light, listen to another thing that happens based on this scripture. He also goes from the power of Satan unto the power of God. It's like a domino effect. You come out of this one, you also come out of the other one. You come out of darkness, you come out of the power of Satan. You come into light, you come into the power of God. Listen, friends, the moment your eyes opens and you move from darkness to light, the ruler over you changes. When you were in darkness, you were under the ruler of darkness. The moment you move to light, the ruler of light takes charge. Do you know, friends, that whoever is over you determines what you get? Amen. Whoever is over you determines what you get. If darkness rules, you have darkness, the results of darkness. If light rules, you have the results of light. So you cannot have results of light when you are being ruled by darkness. The same way you cannot have the results of darkness when you are being ruled by light. It's not possible. Hallelujah. And many of you looking at me tonight, in the last couple of years, you have not had any breakthrough. But I pray for you. As the light of God is shining in your path in this season, you will have breakthroughs like never before in the name of Jesus. That story has changed in the name of Jesus. As I'm speaking right now, light is penetrating your heart. Systems and elements are being adjusted on your behalf. I declare you will no longer be denied in the name of Jesus. Some of you have suffered chronic disfavor. Under this light, it is terminated in the name of Jesus. The Bible said concerning the prodigal son, no one gave to him chronic disfavor. I declare over you tonight, under this light, let that chronic disfavor be terminated by fire in the name of Jesus. Be terminated by fire in the name of Jesus. To open their eyes. The moment a man moves from darkness to light, from Satan to God, he receives righteousness, which is the forgiveness of sins. Then the next thing he receives is inheritance. And that moment, there is a shift by revelation. The ruler over you changes. The result also changes. Sickness vacates. Lack vacates. Poverty vacates. Fear leaves. Faith comes. Give the Lord your praise tonight. And as I'm speaking these 21 days, you are shifting. Some of you came into these 21 days with no light. But I declare, by the time the 21 days is over, you will be carrying floodlights in the name of Jesus. Some of you came in with a candle light that was barely staying
you know, staying alive. But after today, Peyunoska, below Zebredeze, you will go with the light in FNB Stadium in the name of Jesus. Listen, prayer can bring a man healing, but permanent life transformation comes by light from the word of God. Permanent life transformation is a product of light from the word of God. To turn them from darkness to light. To move them from the power of Satan to the power of God. That they may receive forgiveness of sin. That is why it begins. When they receive forgiveness of sin, it means every legal hold Satan has is removed. Then now they are positioned to receive inheritance. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Please celebrate the Lord tonight. When the forgiveness of sin comes, then you are powered to take your inheritance among the family of the sanctified. John 8, verse 30 to 32. And he speaks these words. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue, many believed. Then he now started speaking to those who believe. If you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Take note of these few words quickly, you know, as I wrap up. Take note. You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free. If the truth does not set you free, you don't know it. If the truth has not made you free, you don't know it yet. There must be continuity in the word. Listen, friends, deliverance by the word of God is not a one-time affair. There is a need for continuity. Why? Because revelation is progressive. You know, say, okay, I'm done with 21 days. Then the first Wednesday after 21 days, you sit at home. Like some of you are planning to do. I rebuke that spirit. Leave them alone. Because at least I'll be attending for 21 days. No. Revelation is progressive. He turned to them after they have believed on him. He now said, if you continue. The reason why many lose their light, they never continue. They never continue. If you can let the revival spark in your heart, let it not die with the 21 days. Let it continue. Go from one light to greater light, greater light, greater light, greater light. Let it not stop. Hallelujah. He said, if you continue, there must be continuity in the word. Deliverance by the word of God is not a one-time affair. You can't just come and attend one day and go away. No. There has to be continuity. The same way, anyone who is looking for a result by going to the gym, you can attend. If you're here, let me help you. I'm not a personal trainer, but I can help you because I've seen consistency in my own life. You cannot go to, you want to see results, you want to have six pack, and you only attend the gym once. My sister, my brother, stop wasting your time. There must be a continuity, minimum of 5 days in a week. You go every day. Sometimes you will not even see the change. It's people who will not start saying, "Hey, you're looking good," you know. Then at that moment you start looking at yourself. It's true. But continuity. Then some want a quick one from you. They ask you, "Show us the way." They say, "Show me how." No. There's no how. It was continuity, consistency, continuity. You know, during the December, I was beginning to move to size 56 suit. And I ran that 12 kilometers every day. By the ninth day, my size 54 suit started fitting me again. By the time I completed that 12 days, my size 54 suit was almost now looking like a baggy. Continuity.
I'm giving you a secret. Continuity. You go only once. You carry that thing. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Then you want to see, where is the six pack? No, it's not there. Continue. You go 5 days in a week. Continue, continue, continue. That is how the word is. Continue. Check those who run comrades. They tell them, your legs must pile up kilometers. There must be, your legs must pile up. That's why they run so much. Some of them, ask Pastor Jeff, ask all the guys who have run comrades, particularly the veterans. Ask them. Some of them run almost, you know, they run full marathons, almost close to 10 or 15 of them before the comrades time. The one who runs one marathon, what's going to do comrades? He will die on the road. Ambulance will just carry him. Just die for free. Just die. There's no satanic attack in it. It's just common sense. His heart has not carried enough running to be able to endure 89 kilometers. It's not pap and fleece. They did not say he was killed on the road. You know, witches came after. There ain't no witch anywhere. Others ran through the road. Why didn't the witches kill them? Because he had not piled up enough kilometers to the leg. Enough kilometers. The heart has not opened up. Check those who run comrades. They are. When you see them, there's the way they look. The abundance of. That is how it is with the word of God. When you pile up enough word, even by the time you become an illuminant, you will not know. You will just see yourself enter a place. Light will just shine in the place. You see yourself enter the family that you used to enter before, and demons are making noise. You enter, light shines. Why? Because by the continuity, you have received so much that you are now illuminating others. Give the Lord your praise tonight. You are now illuminating others. So Jesus said, if you continue, there must be a continuity. You must continue. So you must, after 21 days, you continue. You continue with morning prayers. Morning prayers should not end with 21 days. Continue. Those of you who used to come here in the building, you continue, continue, continue. After a while, you become the one who is lighting up everything around you. There has to be an all-round continuity. All-round continuity. Then Jesus said unto them, he said, then you shall be my disciples indeed. Listen, disciples are those who have been disciplined by the teaching of the truth. Disciples are those who have been disciplined by the teaching of the truth. That is, the word of God makes you a disciple indeed. Jesus said, then are you my disciples indeed. That means there are disciples who are not disciples indeed. Because they are not doing the type of thing I'm saying now. They are not continuing. Disciples are disciplined ones. A disciple or a disciple is a disciplined person. And a disciplined person is someone that has been panel beaded after a particular line of instruction. How do someone become a medical doctor? They've been panel beaten for 7 years after a certain line of instruction. How does someone become an accountant? How many years do accountants study? How many years? Four, five. Is it four? Seven as well. Four years. They've been panel beaten for 4 or 5 years by the same line of instruction. Panel beaten. They have seen figures to the point where even when they are sleeping, they are calculating. Panel-beated. So they are now disciplined in that field. Ayana Marada. So when he speaks,
is the abundance of panebiti of so many years. 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Some even go beyond that. They do masters. They do PhD. They do. So he has been panebiti. So he's now disciplined in that area. The things you would do with your calculator, you won't see. He just looks at it. He sees it. My friend, when the word of God panabits you, there is a way you will walk. It will affect your walking. You know, if you're still walking timidly, when the word panabits you, the word makes a lion out of you. When the word of God panabits you, payata zagaduska pata. When the word panabits you, every time you appear, you are appearing with red eyes because the devil knows this one has been panabited. So Jesus said, My disciple indeed. Then you will now know the truth. If you continue. I close you with this story. There's a group of people called in northern part of Nigeria. They are called the Alimajeris. They are taken from small, young children. They take them from small. They indoctrinate them in Islamic studies. They indoctrinate them. These are some of the children that they use for some of their terrorism wickedness. They indoctrinate them properly, the Alimajeris. They send them to beg, but they indoctrinate them. After they indoctrinate them, when they finish that process, they make them wash their slates. They have a slate. I don't know how to explain a slate. Do you know what a slate is? It's a board that kids write. Uh-huh. They make them wash the slate. Thank you. Now you guys are talking. That's actually what I'm looking for. You see that slate? They make them wash it and they drink the water. They die with that doctrine. You see those kids you're seeing? They can kill anybody. Doctrinated. Heavily doctrinated. They are deadly. As you see them like that, they are deadly. They drink the water of their blackboard, which they have been learning with for years. A lifetime indoctrination. They have died by that indoctrination. I conclude. So when Jesus said, you must continue, that was what he meant. That you must continue to the point of indoctrination, where the scriptures indoctrinates you to believe to the point where you can die for what you believe in. Where the scriptures has indoctrinated you, you can die for what you believe in. And in being a disciple who is following, then you shall know the truth. And by knowing the truth, freedom comes. When you are indoctrinated to that point, freedom. Freedom comes. Freedom in your spirit. Freedom in your soul. Freedom in your body. That is where you get to the place where witches are having a meeting. You just walk past without even praying. Because in fact, they see you coming. They scamper. Because by the abundance of the light, you have been indoctrinated by scriptures. By the abundance of that light, you arrive. You see this one, mosquitoes are making noise in your house. There must be indoctrination. That by the time the word of the Lord, that is why he said, so mightily grew the word. And it did what? It prevailed. When the word grew, it prevailed. prevailed. When the word of God grew, it had no choice but to prevail over sickness, prevail over poverty, prevail over demonic attacks, prevail over satanic harassment, prevail over witchcraft attacks. When the word grew, it prevailed over ancestral curses. When the word grew, it prevailed. Until the word grows, it cannot prevail. And you can only grow when you are indoctrinated by scriptures to the point of where you die with what you believe in. And by the power of revelation now, you begin to undo the works of ignorance. You begin to undo the works. Ayina maragabada. You start on doing the works of ignorance. Lift your voice. Say, Lord, that I may know you. I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me. Lift your voice. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you. Reveal yourself. Reveal yourself to me. Rise on your feet. Let's go home.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.